DQ presents. Picture this. You stand before the awe-inspiring new signature stack burger menu at DQ and your mouth wonders, where have you been all my life? That's 5 taste bud tempting cheeseburgers with 100% real seasoned beef. You peek at the loaded A1 stack burger with 2 premium sauces. Then the flamethrower stack burger with tongue-tingling jalapeno bacon. Then you realize moments like these are exactly why we have the DQ signature stack burger menu. DQ. Happy tastes good. Get it delivered at DQ.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome. And if you notice, this is not the voice of Pastor Ernie. This is his associate, Pastor Joe Larson. I'm sitting in tonight for Ernie, who has been at a special meeting, and here in just a moment, he's going to tell us about it. I'd like to introduce my co-host tonight. I call him an evangelist. He's an evangelist on radio and television. I'd like you to welcome Coach Dwayne Risco. Coach?
Good evening, Joe. God bless you. I want to thank the Lord, Pastor Sanders, and yourself for having me in tonight. It's good to be back on the air with you, my friend.
Oh, I love it when we get to work together. And now, fresh from a meeting of the Patriot Pastors, I think he's still on his way home, the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Yay.
All right, thank you, Pastor Joe.
Ting-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
Yep, I'm here too.
Do I get a raise for that intro?
Yeah, you've done all right. You know, I don't expect a lot out of you, but sometimes you surprise me.
I hate to underestimate.
Yeah. Well, you know, we went to this Patriot Pastors, and, you know, they weren't quite like we are. You know, we're being very, very fundamentalist Baptists, but the spirit was there, was great. This is what we wanted to see. Here you've got these young pastors, a number of them, most of them were young pastors, they're waking up. They've come to the conclusion, hey, we got to do something. No more playing church. We got to stand up and take our country back, okay? And even they realize we can't be prissy preachers. We've got to be bold. And you had even the women, you have these patriot ladies there that realize what was happening with our country. So they asked me if I'd come down, and I did. And it was just great. Coach Dobenmeyer there was Dave Dobenmeyer, and another of politicians came in, and they realized, yes, we are going to stand up, and we're going to right from the pulpit say, don't vote for these people. These are bad people, they're evil people, and it'd be a sin to vote for them, like we've been doing all these years. And here, the ones that had closed down were, you know, they were kind of ashamed for closing the churches down. You know, when Governor DeWine says you got to close your churches down, we never did. We never closed for 1 minute. And so we told them, and they gave me a really nice introduction. But we've been fighting this war for 50 years, and And I told them, I said, you know, Coach and I, you know, we've been in this battle for a very long time. So they wanted wanted some of us people to give them a little help in on what to do, what they need to do, and how to get it done. But it's got to be a lot more than talk. It's got to be action. And so, anyhow, I was very happy with the gathering and the enthusiasm. There was just a whole lot of enthusiasm. In other words, it's not over till we win. These folks were finally ready to say, we're going to put an end to it. We're going to take our country back. We're going to do it. So I praise the good Lord for that. We've been wanting this needs to spread, and it better. You know, Joe and Coach, we came on the way home. We stopped at three different places to get something to eat, and we couldn't get anything to eat because they didn't have any help. We stopped at a Bob Evans. They were closed because they, with a sign that says no help. We need to. We went over to, what was the second place we went to?
TA
truck stop. Same thing. They closed because they didn't have enough help. We looked over there at a, what was that?
KFC.
Yeah. And even at a Taco Bell were closed, and they had signs out front. I don't know what's wrong with this country. Help wanted, yeah.
This morning at Bob Evans, remember, they were for you, sure.
Yeah, and this morning when we stopped on the way down this morning at Bob Evans, and people were leaving because they were waiting so long, and the receptionist and the waitress told us that we can't get people to work here. They pay good money, but nobody wants to work. I've never seen anything like this. And I don't know why they're having such a hard time. I don't know. So many people dying from the poisonous poke from the, I don't know.
Well, Pastor, a lot of it had to do when the government was paying people more money to stay home than they were working and paying taxes on the money that they were making. That sure didn't help.
Well, I know that, but that, I think, has stopped. I don't think they're still getting this. So, yeah. That's what started it, when they were making more money not working. And right now the government is paying farmers not to grow food. They want to create a food shortage.
Amen.
This is Biden. Well, if he's left in there, this country cannot survive another 3 years of Biden.
God help us.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't
they
know if we'll survive another
people
year.
People dependent.
Right, Joe.
Yeah. Anyhow, fellas, there you go. I'll let you get on with your program. And God bless and have a good program.
God bless you. Drive careful. Tell hell I said hello.
You just did.
God bless. Thanks.
God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
All right. Last night, excuse me here, we were left off in Joshua. We were doing I Am Angry. And here is the reason why. And we added to that, God was angry and we are angry because we are to be angry at the things that God was angry.
Amen.
And as we were reading from Joshua 7, we didn't quite get finished. And I'm going to pick it up where we left off here. And Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. Now, to catch everybody up.
What verse are you starting on?
I'm starting on verse 22.
Okay, thank you.
Joshua 7, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Remember, the people were told that they were to go in and not, they were to sanctify themselves, and they were not to touch the accursed thing. God said, in any wise, keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing and make a camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Now they were supposed to bring the gold and silver and brass and iron vessels that were to be brought into the treasury of the Lord, but everything else was to be destroyed.
By fire?
God said this was to be destroyed. They were to burn the city and everything in it was to be destroyed. That was man, woman, young, old, ox, sheep, ass with the sword, and then they burned the city.
Okay.
Now, God was destroying a group of wicked people, and it probably sounds horrible, but he was destroying, he knows that it was a people who were not going to change, who would not stop the behaviors they were doing, and he was making an example that when he has judgment, he really judges. If he says the wages of sin are death, God means it. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people don't like to hear that, Coach.
No, they don't. They want everything nice and sweet and pretty and comfy.
Well, that's not the way the world works.
So no, it's not.
See, Joshua found out that one Achan had taken things that were not supposed to be taken, and he hid them in the tent, and God helped Joshua find out who was at stake. Because, well, we talked last night that there was a battle the children of Israel lost because God was angry. They did not obey him. And when they went to take the city of Ai, they were soundly defeated.
So, didn't obey the Lord.
So now Joshua's having to correct things. And he didn't go to the Lord. He didn't ask, you know, for guidance. So everybody was kind of at fault here. So I'll start with finish. Coach, why don't you read 23 down to 26?
Okay. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones until this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor until this day.
Day. Wow. So you see, the entire nation was judged by the action of one man who brought this down. Now you're going to say, Coach, I'm sure people are going to say, hey, one person, how can God judge a nation? Because
yes,
the rules were made clear. God, before they embarked on this venture, made it clear that this was something special. And they were not anyone to go near that accursed thing, because I think he was making the point that sometimes the sins of a nation, when he has warned a nation, he has warned everybody in it, thou shalt not, must not, cannot, will not, and he is ignored, it brings his wrath.
Sure does.
It brings judgment. And we can see where he's showing this was a nation not worthy of being saved. Not worthy of being saved in God's eyes. Now, maybe in man's eyes, but not in God's. So what, the city then was destroyed. You know, Joshua did as he was told.
Mm-hmm.
But we can see that this sin hurt the entire nation of Israel. And I'm thinking, we were told all through Scripture, Coach, that children were a gift from God.
Amen.
Children are a blessing. Children are, well, they were made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Jesus, often I'll go through some of it later, but he was saying, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Think about that. These little children belong to what? The kingdom of heaven.
Precious.
Precious. And several times in Scripture, he's talking about using the little children and how he loves them and using them for examples. And then he says in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but I'll read from Matthew 18, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones,
there you go,
even me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
That's serious.
Now, I said all that because one of the things that we've done, the nation has done, is abortion. We are murdering our children made in the image of God, and we have murdered hundreds of thousands of children.
Yeah.
Then, these precious children we have abused, and we are today abusing through the public school system. We are confusing them with sexuality, with sin, that they can change sexes, that sex is a good and wonderful thing. And
how to masturbate.
Taking away their innocence that God wanted them to have until they were of the age of consent. And so America has committed a huge national sin. And we see that not everybody in America has participated, but like the children of Israel, they all suffered from what was done, this accursed thing. And I would bet that God would say the murder, the shedding of innocent blood would be an accursed thing, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. It's the same thing of pedophilia and how some of the leaders across the globe, they have little children to have sex with. That, oh, my God, that is horrible. Yet America is turning a blind eye to it.
Right, and ignoring. So we have God giving a warning to a nation here,
yeah,
the nation of Israel. Then I want to go over, turn to Joshua 8. I want to add something here. It wasn't part of Pastor's Bible study, but I wanted to add it. Joshua had realized that he hadn't asked properly of the Lord when they went to the city of Ai. He had not prayed and gotten guidance. But he realized his mistake. And so he's going to do something here kind of special.
What verse?
And Joshua 8, we're going to start at verse 32. And Coach, would you read 32 through, let's go through 35.
Okay. And he wrote there upon the stone a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on the side of the ark and on the side before the priest, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them.
Uh-huh. So, to make a point, he takes the entire nation of Israel, puts them in this little narrow valley between two mountains, divides half on one side and half over the other, and he gets down in the middle. And what? He reads all the words of the law.
Wow.
To all of the people, men, women, young, old, children alike, that they were to hear the words of the law, making sure that nobody was there would be lacking in knowledge, have any excuse. This is God's law, thus saith the Lord. This is the law we are to live under and by. This is our God. And they just had gotten done understanding with the destruction of the city of Ai and with Jericho and with their loss against Ai at first. And then they watched what happened to Achan and his family because of their sin, and the family was punished for the sin of the leader of that family.
They got a great awakening, didn't they?
I would think, yeah. The children of Israel that day, it was like, okay, it's a hard lesson, but that should have been a lesson that they would have never, ever, ever forgotten. Now, we have a lot of people, we just read the red letters at our church. We just look at the New Testament, the Word. We don't go back because that Old Testament, that's some horrible stuff back there. Like God had all these people killed
Yeah, there should be a fear of the Lord. It's missing in our churches throughout America.
Yeah, because God is the same what? Today.
Yesterday,
today, and tomorrow. It's the same God, right?
Amen, brother.
And we know that he knew the end of the story before he ever made the creation. He knew what would happen. He knew every person who would come to him, everyone who would obey him, everyone who would be against him. Before he created man, he knew everything that would come.
Ain't that amazing? You can't comprehend how powerful that God is.
It's beyond my pay grade.
Yeah, I'd burn my brain cells out trying to figure it.
He existed before anything. He will exist. There is no end to him, but he's at one end and the other and everywhere in between. So he knows everything even before it happens. He knows it. So he knew all these people. He knew the ones that were evil and wicked that would not change. He knew the nations that would not accept him and would continue to sin. And they were destroyed. The evil, because the wages of sin
is death.
You've got it. Now let's go over to 2 Peter. We're going to turn over there and continue. So listen, I'm hoping we're getting across that this, as a nation, we get judged. America will be judged, as Israel was judged then, as it will be.
Yeah.
So now we want 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11. And if you want to read?
2 Peter 1, 10 and 11. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
All right. Now, there's a lot in there, because when he says make your election sure, God is saying make your salvation sure.
There you go. What saved you? Who saved you? From what?
Right. Have you truly repented? Have you truly been born again? Make your salvation sure.
Great point.
Because many out there have a profession of faith, but few have a possession.
Yeah.
And way back in 2017, I did a report on this program. It was a George Barna study. And it was in May of 2017, talking about only 17% of the Christians in America had a real biblical worldview. In other words, followed the scripture, the teaching of Christ, that their belief was the way they led their life, that they had a real Christian worldview, not a secular worldview, but were strong in God's word. Well, there was another study done on March 15th, George Barna research. And it turned out that although a lot of people professed faith, it turned out that only 2% of all these, about 67% of the participant parents said they were Christians, but only 2% this time, not 17, claimed to have a biblical worldview. In other words, had the mind of Christ.
Great falling away.
That's just since 17.
Yeah.
And it's going down fast. So God's saying, make sure that your salvation is sure, and if you do, an entrance will be supplied into the everlasting kingdom. Ye must be born again to enter the kingdom of God.
Amen to that.
And that's one of the, with that, we're going to have a break, but you have something that you're going to be doing tonight. You've got some words. Now, do you need to read them all together, or
we'll do that. We'll
do them in parts.
I just need like about 30 seconds before we break for a song. But then the 11:30 hour, I'll just need a couple of minutes because it's two paragraphs to read. It should hit home. It should shock every person in that has a family. So before we take the song, folks, you know where we live. You've been listening to What's Right, What's Left all these years. You've been tuning in. You've been listening to Pastor Joe. He's a walking encyclopedia. You listen to Pastor Ernie Sanders. You listen to Hal Larson. You listen to John McTernan. You listen to Randy and John Holman and all them. Well, think about this. The song's going to fit into this, and I want you to listen to let me know if you can understand. You know, homosexuals were considered touched in the head. They were mentally sick years ago. Church parking lots were full. Families sat down at the table and ate supper together, and they prayed. People carried Bibles to church. You know, children actually respected their parents and the old folks with love and honor. Baseball diamonds, weren't they full of kids playing baseball? Dads at one time were the head of the house. Moms submitted to the dads their authority. Cussing was looked upon as people who lost control in life. Abortion was secretly done. Divorce was frowned upon in the community. Open borders were never permitted. And people feared God. So with that, does this song fit in today? Do many of you sing this song like I do?
Tell me about the good old days. Sometimes it feels like this world's gone crazy. Grandpa, take me back to yesterday, when the line between right and wrong didn't seem so easy. Lovers really fall in love to stay, stand beside each other, come what may. Promise really something people can't, not just something they would say. Families really bow their heads to pray. Daddy's really never go away. Oh, oh, Grandpa, tell me about the good old
The good old days. That's how life used to be. Well, hey, guess what? There's good news, because there's still people out there like you listening, like Pastor Joe, Ernie Sanders, Hal, and all of you, people I hear you calling throughout the years. We still believe in love. We still believe in family values. We carry our Bibles to church. We get on our knees. We feel God, fear God. There is still a remnant of us. Pastor, thanks for letting me play that song tonight, because it fitted in with the times.
It sure does. And what I want to do tonight, folks, something a little different we normally do. I've been looking at the headlines about things pertaining to our children. Story about all the girls in the Boy Scouts. Girl announces she's having gender surgery because many of her 30 personalities are male and wants to please them. Bonnie and Clyde kids, 12 and 14, take up AK-47 and have a 35-minute gun battle with police. We see the anti-racist baby books out there. Florida teachers are quitting in protest because the Florida Gill would prevent gay grooming, make it virtually impossible to groom the little children. Parents, your boys can be drag queens just like RuPaul. Then there is our representative Pramila Jayapal from Washington, Democrat. And she wants to enshrine federal protections for trans kids. You have a Wisconsin school district saying parents are not entitled to know anything about the child's sexuality or different things. They're hiding things from the parents. These are just some of the headlines that are going against children. Remember, God said, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." He said in Genesis, he told Noah, you know, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. He said one of the first things he told mankind to do is replenish the earth, even before, you know, Noah.
Amen.
Let's go and replenish the earth. And Jesus had said, children, suffer the little children, forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. The little children are his. They belong to him. And we know even from the book of Jonah, Jonah in chapter 4:11, and he says, and should I not spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand? Cannot discern. They're not able to discern what's right and what's left, what's right and what's wrong.
Democrats.
The name of the ministry. What's right, what's left, right?
Yeah.
And those have to come of age. People, you know, if you look at the book of John, it talks about, well, my son is of age. He can speak for himself. When you became of age, you were old enough to be able to accept Jesus or reject him, accept God or reject him. Coming of age. Before that, you belong to the Savior. The children belong to Jesus until they're old enough to decide for themselves. Now, years ago, I did a long presentation called Isms in Education. And a lot of people, I don't think, understand, Coach, what an ism is. Do you think you could define it?
I will let your expertise on that one go.
Okay, it's kind of simple. It's a distinctive doctrine, cause, or theory, according to Webster. A distinctive doctrine, cause, or theory. Now, earlier I was talking about only 2% of the many parents in that survey that professed their faith in Christ, professed, really had a biblical Christian worldview. They had a secular worldview. And that comes from the isms in this world we have. Think about it. Liberalism.
Nice.
Communism.
Yeah.
Socialism. Marxism.
Nice.
Atheism, cultural Marxism, humanism, social Darwinism, existentialism, moral relativism, postmodernism, progressivism, liberalism, Freudianism, Keynesianism, racism, sexism, wokeism, and there's a lot more out there.
Stupidism.
Yeah.
Democrats.
In other words, a distinctive doctrine or theory, a doctrine that is not based on the teaching of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All isms out there in the secular world are anti-Christ.
Spiritualism.
Every ism that you can name is anti-Christ because it is a false doctrine. It is not the doctrine of Jesus Christ.
Great point.
Understanding this, think about, we have sent, as a nation, our children to the public school system, to Satan himself, to be educated, because it's a secular program, Coach, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Now, Karl Marx, you remember him?
Sure do.
Communism begins where atheism begins. The criticism of religion is the beginning of all criticism. Now, Marx, Lenin, communism was, well, what's the definition? It's socialism in a hurry.
Yeah.
Socialism, really, communism, think about it, is socialism in a hurry. They both are going to get to the same place. One's violent and rapid. One is gradual, sneaking in the back door. But if you look back at Marx, religion was one of the things he wanted to abolish.
It cannot coexist with him.
Right. Along with the family, morality. Right. Oh, yep. These are things he wanted to get rid of. So in Marxism, we can't have family. We can't have morality. That's got to go. And he talked about social justice. Well, he said this was, he scoffed at this kind of thing. He talked about the principles of Christ are hypocritical. And at the end, he said, the communists openly declare that their ends can be obtained only by the forcible overthrow over all existing social conditions. And who set up our social conditions? Jesus Christ, didn't he?
Sure did.
Or at least you should be following the social conditions that were set about in the gospel. That's what we should be living. So I wrote this piece, Isms in Education. Now, remember, this was 2004. And in 2002, I had seen a study. They looked at the top-ranking seniors in America's top 55 liberal arts colleges and universities.
Oh, boy.
Okay, the top students in all these universities. Now, they were given an old-fashioned high school exam. They failed. Now, 35% of our nation's best and brightest, this was 2002, said this. The phrase, from each according to his ability to each according to his needs, was found in our Constitution. Isn't that Marx's slogan? That's Karl Marx's very slogan. They thought it came from our Constitution. 35% of the brightest students in the country. Then, the phrase, wall of separation of church and state, 55% believed that that was in our Constitution.
It's nowhere in there.
No. No.
Does not exist.
Then they went to the ninth graders. 84% of America's ninth graders in 2004 said government is responsible for controlling prices. 65% of the ninth graders thought it was government's job to guarantee everyone a job.
Wrong.
64% said government should reduce differences in income and wealth among our citizens.
Nope.
Redistribution of wealth? 66% thought government should support and control industry. 88% said government should provide health care for everyone.
Wrong answer.
You know, almost every one of those things comes out of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto.
But like you said, they got control of the education system. You got to get a hold of little Johnny and Susie, teach them evolution, there is no God, show them dinosaurs, and put little kindergarten books and have it say millions and millions and millions of years ago. So by the time they become fifth graders and you tell them about God, they look at you like from another planet.
Yeah. So we know back in 1962, the Supreme Fools prohibited prayer in public fool system. 63, the same Supreme Fools banned the Bible teaching. And in 1980, they ordered all the schools to remove the Ten Commandments.
Big mistake.
Yeah. Okay, well, since then, what happened? Between then and 2002, teen suicides went up from 500%. Child abuse went up 2,300%. Illegal drug use among young teenagers, 6,000%. Criminal arrest of teenagers, 1,500%. Births to unwed teenage girls, 500%. And school SAT test scores dumbed down twice.
Imagine that.
50% lower.
Yeah, because we give all the kids any more multiple choices. When I was in school, I had to stand up, go to the blackboard, write and show that I can write, stand up, grab a book and read out loud, show that I can read, and then I would have to answer questions and give theories and stand up. Now, Johnny and Susie and everybody gets choose A, B, or C. Whoopee.
Right. Simple. Now, then came along in 2003, the American Psychiatric Association found a new syndrome in America, or the world. They called it celebrity worship syndrome. Roughly one-third of the people in Western society vicariously devote and attach their self, identity, values, income, and passion to the rich and famous.
Oh boy.
Not to Christ, to the rich and famous.
Unreal.
Now, how did all this happen? I'm going to skip a lot. There's so much that could be brought in, but I want to go back. One of the first laws in America was called the Old Deluder Satan Law.
Old Deluder Satan Law?
Yep.
Okay.
One of the first laws passed in America, and it started with these words, whereas Satan's greatest weapon is the ignorance of men. And, of course, the Bible says wisdom begins with what?
Fear of the Lord.
Right. Now, we go back through all through history, rulers, courts, intellectuals have decided to use the education system to shape the nation.
The way they want it.
The model for education was set by Plato and his Republic. Plato's model was ancient Sparta, where the children were taken from their parents early in life, molded into, you know, soldiers
right.
for the Spartan society. The blueprint that Plato came up with, parents were not to know their children nor the children their parents. The society was to be based on community of property, community of family, and children and property were to be controlled by the state.
Sounds like Hillary Clinton wrote that.
Yeah, well, it sure does. Here's why. This model was used then by ancient Prussia, Soviet Russia, fascist Italy, later Nazi Germany. Why they would take that. Now, in Prussia, in ancient Prussia, it was Europe's first national system of education was set up there under King William I. And he used Plato's model. The King of Prussia claimed it was the duty of government, him, to see and think and act for the whole community. By the 1800s, Prussia had mandatory school attendance, government certification of teachers, abolished all religious and private schools.
Imagine that.
And parents could be, children could be taken away from their parents for any noncompliance. So when Germany became a nation, they went and used the Prussian school and system, modeled it. And the German education, quote, must fashion the person and the person and fashion him in such a way he cannot be otherwise than that which the state wills him to be.
Now, was that before Hitler's entrance?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The prime function of a German education is based on a national principle that education to the state, education for the state, education by the state. The state is the supreme, so the Soviet Union modeled after the Prussian-German model. And why am I telling you all this, Coach? I've got a reason, believe it.
I know where you're going, but you need to let the audience know.
In 1960, the U.S. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare set up Soviet education programs, foundations, curriculums, and teacher preparation.
Ta-da.
Those are the exact words. This document was a blueprint for the school to work, the restructuring that would take place in America, and it goes back and based on the Prussian-German model.
And
Soviet
what?
Education programs, foundations, curriculums, teacher prep. Then we go back, though, our history is a little worse. It goes back to about 1805. The Unitarians took control of Harvard University. Now, that's a Unitarian is a member of a faith that rejects the Trinity of God, stresses the free use of man's reason, believes in a united world community, one world order, and advocates for liberal social action. 1805 took over
wow.
Harvard.
1805. So when we see these universal churches, you know exactly what they are.
Yeah, you know exactly what
gateways
they are.
To hell.
Basically, a Unitarian thinks that man is essentially good and that all evil in this world comes from poverty and ignorance.
Wrong.
So anyway, then we have Robert Owen. He was the father of modern socialism, and he told the world a person's character is determined by education and upbringing, not by sin. Public schools would transform students into agents of unlimited benevolence. Unlimited benevolence.
Hmm. Sounds like Agents of Fortune.
Modern education was Horace Mann. They call the father of modern education was a, would you believe, Unitarian?
Wouldn't surprise me none.
So if you get God out, you're going to have agents of unlimited benevolence. When did I read about the little kids, 12 and 14, with an AK-47 fighting with the police? Yeah.
Yeah.
We see little children killing each other, fighting, beating each other. Yeah.
And then we see
horrible behaviors because we took God out of their lives. The children have, some of them are lucky that have 30 minutes or 45 minutes of Sunday school once a week versus hours a day, 5 days a week, 9 months of the year in secular humanism, which is basically communism.
Oh, then give them all a smartphone and they can sit and watch pornography. They can watch stupid stuff, fights, violence, action, nudity. Oh, that's brilliant.
So here we have, in 1857, the NEA, the National Education Association, was founded, and it called for nationalized education. Yep, nationalized. Zelman Richards, one of the union's heads in the convention, condemned any private schools, Christian schools, and in 1885, the representatives of the union claimed that children and property belong to, not the people, but to the state.
Hillary Clinton.
This was an NEA education convention in 1858.
Wow.
Children and property belonged to the state, all the way back to Sparta, right?
Yeah.
Then remember the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. Free education for all children in public school system. Oh, free education for all children in the public school system.
Yeah, then why do we pay property taxes on them for their free education?
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But see how this, you follow the flow of everything dealt with controlling the children controls the future.
Well, yeah, right? You can't, God can't exist because God, with the Bible, the King James Bible, makes these people out to be liars, fools, dumbcoughs. It shows them the fool in his heart says there is no God. Fear God. They tell you fear the state, and the state will let you do what you want without no restrictions from a so-called fairy tale in the sky.
Right. Now, there's all kinds of things I could go into. I'm not going to have time, but the Fabian socialists had talked about they would change the world, and they would do it by putting people deep with inside different organizations, including education, government, philanthropic groups, and all this.
You mean infiltrating the churches, too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, everything would be done under reforming social justice. Everything was for humanitarian, for true democracy, for the children. And the buzzwords were to be social and democracy. Remember all the words you hear?
Yeah.
Social engineering, social justice, social welfare, social reform, social science, social studies. And according to the NEA, do you know what the purpose of education in America is?
For the better of mankind, of course.
The socialization of the child.
Absolutely.
The socialization of the child is what the NEA claimed in 1934 to be the purpose of public education. Not teaching, reading, writing, thinking, not creating individuals who can think for themselves, but a socialized little child.
Marching robots.
Exactly. Then we go all the way, Norman Thomas. Do you remember him?
I can't say that I do. I'd be lying to the audience.
He was a socialist. He was a member of the Civil Liberties Union, and he told the world, the American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without ever knowing.
Little by little by little.
Exactly.
One bean at a time fills a bag.
Yep. And then in the early 1900s, you had large numbers of people flocking to America from Europe, and a lot of these people came with degrees in psychology, sociology, psychiatry, behavioral sciences, all these things dealing with what? Behavior and social change.
Austria, Romania, and so forth.
they went on to become college and university professors in America. Yeah.
With higher learning, as we adapt man, we are molding man higher from within. We're reaching a new plateau through our socialism.
Yeah, and remember, communism is socialism. I mean, communism is socialism in a hurry. Yeah. They're going to the same place. So now, 1932, a man named George Counts was a Fabian socialist. He was teaching at our Columbia University Teachers College.
No wonder all those Northeast colleges become brain dead.
Right, and he was under a grant from the Rockefeller Foundation.
Oh, there's a winner.
Right, and he said, a new age, America has entered a new age where ignorance must be replaced by knowledge, competition by cooperation, trust in providence by careful planning, man's planning, and private capitalism by a socialized economy. So here we have a Fabian socialist elite teaching in one of the biggest and best teachers colleges in America, teaching the teachers who would teach America's children. And people wonder how America got so far left.
Did they become willfully ignorant because they never did? Like we were taught, always, always check both sides of the opinion before you make a decision.
No, I was taught that God had the final word on everything.
Absolutely.
He said we must replace knowledge, God's knowledge, with what? Man's knowledge.
No, I want God's knowledge, God's wisdom, God's understanding because mine's flawed.
Exactly. So, now, John Dewey was the father of modern education. He was a socialist and a humanist.
Now, I heard about that bird.
He belonged to 15 different Marxist organizations. And here again, he was one who would be teaching the professors who would train America's teachers.
And what year was that?
When
was Dewey? When did he come into the scene, roughly?
Dewey is, I think, in the late 30s.
So then he was familiar with probably Ford back then?
Yeah.
Okay, because Ford was another one of these fly-by-night socialists too, wasn't he?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, here's what Dewey said. He said, you can't make socialists out of individualists. Children who know how to think for themselves spoil the harmony of the collective society, the Borg, I call it, which is coming, where everyone is independent. The child, said Professor Dewey, must always be made to feel part of the group. He must indulge in group thinking, group activity, and what do they teach today? Group think. You must go along with the narrative, right?
Yeah, don't buck the system.
Narrative.
Yeah.
Right. Don't buck. And he was a big follower of the Soviet school, and he wrote articles, six of them, in fact, on the wonders of Soviet education. Students were to be judged on their collective spirit, on their reaction to groups, and individuals were designated enemies of the state. They were graded on their ability to subordinate morality to the interest of the class structure and be against the family was declared a form of slavery because your child, you'd be a slave to your parents.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I could go on to the stuff Dewey, you know.
Yeah, we got less than a minute as we come up to the top of the hour.
You're right. I'm going to finish with one thing. It's what they are of the world, and therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
You're listening to What Right, What's Left. Pastor Joe Larson sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders, and I'm a special guest tonight. Don't go away because Pastor Joe is a walking encyclopedia, and he's got a lot of good stuff coming up. So we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Well, yeah, maybe you can go get a cup of coffee real quick and come back, sit down, and get ready for some great, great insight. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org.
That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.